proud and free, my dream of a race. Destined to be, I'm hated by society, but still my honor holds true, cause my dream is a victory, and I'll fight to the battle's door.
If there's a rustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just the right stuff.biz and this week's edition of The Daily Show. I am the seventh son, in case you forgot, because I didn't introduce myself last week. And sitting with me on the death panel this week is, of course, Michael Enoch.
Hey, what's up?
The Ghoul.
I love neighbor.
And our pal Bulbasaur. What's up, Bulbasaur?
How you doing?
All right. So the big news that, well, what we've been discussing mostly this week is the big scandal in Rotherham. It's actually the latest article on TRS.biz, Mike threw in there. It's a pretty disgusting scandal. It's also pretty not surprising if you're in our milieu and you're paying attention. We've got over the course of, what is it, since 1998? 1400.
It's almost surprising. But
I was a little bit shocked.
Really?
I was shocked. I'm actually shocked.
I was shocked by the number of incidents. Like, we can go over, I guess, the facts. Like, yeah. There's this town in the UK, Rotherham, and I guess there's a significant Pakistani population. I think it's up in the north, although I don't know the exactly where, but they always talk about it being near Yorkshire.
North
of England. And there's a lot of Pakis up there, and I guess they had this thing where over, you know, the last 15 years or so, there have been significant number of complaints that come in from girls that have been, you know, drugged, kidnapped, sexually abused, raped, taken around to other places and raped, and the girls are aged from like preteen to teen, and it's, you know, usually white girls, and I don't think it's all white girls, you know, it's almost all Pakistani men, of course. Yep. There's with anything with people, you don't get 100%, right?
Right.
So there's some probably native white English, but it's such an insignificant, it would be like 2%, you know, it's such an insignificant number. So it's mostly Pakistani men kidnapping teenage and preteen girls, like usually giving them alcohol, giving them drugs, having sex with them, raping them, giving them to other Pakistani men to rape, etc. And so there had been all of these complaints of this. And it's not like the police and the social service didn't know. Like, they were getting these complaints.
They turned away fathers that were looking for justice.
I mean, and not only that, like, I think there was an incident, although I would have to check on the facts of this. I heard there was an incident where a father knew about it, went to go try to rescue his daughter, and he was charged with breaking and entering.
Oh.
And the actual suspects, I would have to go look into that. Someone was telling me about that. And other things, and like, you know, and then there was another one where supposedly some of these girls that had complained were then, they were arrested for public drunkenness rather than their allegations of them being abused were not taken seriously, etc. And one other thing that did happen, which is definitely proven, is one of the social workers that tried to blow the whistle on this, that tried to report it, tried to make it known, go further up the chain of command. She was stopped and then sent to diversity training to be more culturally sensitive to the Pakistani population, whatever. I mean, the UK is like political correctness hell. I mean, people think the US is bad.
This is actually like...
It's enraging.
It made me actually...
No, I actually got
my
really...
stomach.
Yeah, I felt a little bit ill, actually, when reading about it. I was like, I can't... I got, like, sick and sad. It wasn't even, like... But what I was saying before about being surprised, I wouldn't have been surprised if there was, like, an isolated case. Right? If it turned out, like, oh, a Pakistani man rapes white girl.
The
government doesn't want to do anything. They keep it under the table because it's, you know... It doesn't help the narrative.
Yeah, but we're talking 1,400,
and they were saying like that's a conservative estimate. That's a conservative estimate of the number. So that did surprise me. Like that sheer number surprised me. The idea that it would happen, no, I could see liberal bureaucrats doing this, but that sheer number, blew me away.
It's blowing me away because I mean you, as nasty and as vile as an American leftist is, and Well, maybe there is some sort of redeeming quality to democracy, because we generally don't vote in people. We haven't yet. I mean, it could be possible, but we don't have that kind of track record with our leftist politicians. Like they voted in people that care more about Pakistani rapists than their own citizenry. Like they hate their own country and their own countrymen so much that they're able to turn a blind eye to the beheadings, to this, and they crack down on people that want to complain about it. Like that's even worse.
Well, there's a blog out there, socialmatter.net. He had a nice little summary of what's going on. He was basically saying that the Brits are a holy people, and they have to do what's proper, and what's polite is more important than anything. And basically, one of the final lines in his article was, listening to the pleas of little girls and reporting Muslims is not the polite and proper thing to do. Multiculturalism and, you know, all that nonsense was what's polite and proper, and they must, you know, not make these people look bad for...
Okay, I don't even know what the fuck kind of mindset these Brits have.
Yep.
It's...
I mean, he wasn't agreeing with that. That was his analysis of how they were reacting. I don't think he shared that sentiment.
Oh, yeah. I'm just... Yeah, no, of course. I'm saying it's... how it even got this far disgusts me. And it is incredibly surprising because it seems like it's right out of the Turner Diaries. Like,
right.
William Pierce with his weird little book. It's actually... at least in the UK, it's real.
I would hesitate to even say it's that they care about these Pakistanis.
They
don't
care about the narrative.
About them. They care about just, the narrative. They care about the story. The idea. And in America, I think we have some leftists that might have that mindset. Maybe even some in power, but they don't hold enough total power that they
there's enough resistance here.
The police here would investigate this, regardless of what was and the police here do what's politically incorrect and then suffer the consequences later. They don't, you know, they're not, and it's all this, there's part of the whole different culture here. They carry guns, they're not fags, there's a whole different kind of culture here that would make this very unlikely to happen. Not to mention that we have, I would say, to a certain extent, we still have real right-wingers in this country that aren't completely, have their balls cut off. So, like, you could expect that if the government did, there's just a lot of reasons why it wouldn't happen here. Like, there's more transparency, there's more people knowing what's going on. Like,
the culture, even, too. I mean, like, the...
Yeah, the culture wouldn't accept it.
Yeah,
we're not as pussyfoot about Muslims here. Maybe blacks, but not Muslims.
As far as our political correctness goes, even, you know, ignoring the worst of the worst kind of left, like Tumblrite, weirdo, fucking whatever, I would trust a standard leftist to still report a fucking, like, pedophile ring going on.
Yeah, they like, would still
regardless of narrative, you know? That's what I would expect, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am, but
There's more decency, I guess. Or maybe they just value, I guess, the individual human's rights, you know, to a better degree. I think that kind of goes back to...
Probably, just because American culture, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Europeans are just... They have a very peasant mindset. And I've noticed that from a lot of discussions with them. I mean, they're just... They're very peasant-esque. Maybe you guys know some outliers. I might know a couple, but that seems to fit this kind of narrative here. Like, you have this kind of just disgusting behavior, and they're tolerating it. You know, if someone in this country, God forbid, beheads a soldier in broad daylight in the middle, he would be torn apart.
Yeah,
that man would be killed on the street.
Particularly considering the areas where there would be soldiers walking around. I mean, I think it's something like 1 out of 25 men in the north is in the military, and 1 out of 7 men in the south. So imagine, imagine down south some Muslim cutting off a soldier's head. Like it wouldn't even get to the point where the police would be called.
No, I mean, as soon as he brandished a machete, I mean, we remember how to lynch.
But I
also wonder if, like, if maybe just because of the like English mindset, if maybe they felt powerless and cowardly in seeing such an act done in front of them. None of them have any fucking weapons on them. All of them,
yeah, there's no
all of them rely on ideology and politeness to take care of things.
Well, isn't this just all their empire guilt? I mean,
it's a bunch of crap. I mean, they got their own kind of guilt, but we have fucking guns here, and a lot of people like to carry guns here. You wouldn't even. It doesn't even have to be a soldier. If someone started getting their head cut off in the middle of the street,
oh fuck!
Like, someone's gonna pull out a fucking gun and
put a stop. You know.
Well, probably
if it's broad daylight,
in New York, but
yeah, not New York.
In the UK, there's this thing that I was reading up about, and I tried to talk to a couple of English friends and Scottish friends and ask them about this thing where there's this sort of this political group, and it was on Jared Taylor's podcast that he did about this. There's this sort of political NGO called Common Purpose, and they train people in so-called leadership, but it's all training in like something they call like cultural intelligence, which is like
how to bridge. Yeah,
like supposedly I couldn't get
it's super through, like, Brahmin grooming is what it looks like.
Yeah, it's like this. You go and you pay for a seminar, although you don't pay, the government pays, and it's like £5,000 for this seminar. And you go in and it's like a 48-hour thing, and they do this thing. It's called, in the UK, they call something Chatham House Rules, which I guess that means that you don't know the names of the people that are there, and you can't say anything about what happens there when you leave. And they do like these 48-hour seminars, and the allegations are, though some people told me it's bullshit, some people have told me it's a real serious thing. The allegations are that these people are like trained to become some kind of cult, right? And there were things where this woman who was the head of social services in Rotherham had done this. She was a graduate of Common Purpose.
Right.
And there's this thing that there are now a number of bureaucrats in the UK that have all done this, and they watch each other's backs. And their loyalty to other Common Purpose graduates is greater than their loyalty to the system or to the people. Right. And so that and this whole cultural understanding, cultural intelligence thing is like their thing. So there's allegations that's led them to ignore these. But to me, that first of all, that gets into conspiracy thinking, and also that's a symptom rather than a cause. Like, it's very easy to say, oh, well, Common Purpose came in. It's like, no, the only reason Common Purpose could exist
is because of the
pre-existing leftist.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing that already went into it. I'm sure Common Purpose is terrible, and they've sort of lost power because there were allegations of people committing fraud and people, when someone was implicated for something that another Common Purpose covered for them, and so they actually got in trouble, and then it was outed that they were supporting all of these changes to the law that were gonna, you know, cut down on free speech in the UK, and like so they kind of lost power a little bit since 2012 when this whole scandal broke, but they still have, but I saw some right-wing British sites that were trying to implicate them as the reason, but I was like, that's sort of not really acknowledging the bigger problem that you people have, that could even exist in the first place.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like this loyalty to their narrative above all else, and it's sort of what I went into in my article where it's the only thing, and we could go into, oh, it's because like POC and, you know, oppressed people don't have agency. Only white people have agency, so white people that are right wing are like always the most to be feared. So they're the only ones that could be a threat to the system. So it doesn't matter about these raping Pakistani men. What matters is, and there was even that article I linked to from The Guardian where this leftist woman, this feminist, you know, pinko, whatever she was saying, like,
she was going out of her way to try to spin this
as being the fault of the EDO.
It was crazy.
But even,
She was, it was like she was. It was like she was straining to like have to admit that it happened, and like that she had to report on this scandal. Like it was all, like she couldn't. It was like she couldn't believe her own words. She puts a quote in there. It's so melodramatic.
I can't even comprehend shoving my head up my own ass that far. Imagine
maybe the Pakistani scenario. Man can help.
I'm sure.
I'm thinking of a scenario where. In fantasy alternate universe United States land where there's some TRS party that's in control or like gaining momentum or something and it's hilarious and it's awesome and then all of a sudden one day I find out that a bunch of the TRS people have been having this secret pedophile ring as we've been gaining power. And in my head, I don't even think for a moment, well, if I report it, then they're all going to look kind of bad. I don't know. Like, I just make it flush it all down.
Okay, here's the thing about that woman is that it's not even, I don't even think she necessarily feels like she's trying to cover for anything. Listen to this quote from that I just pulled up that she wrote. The abuse of all those girls has become a catalyst.
Right.
A Franz Ferdinand event. The trigger for something brutal and destructive. How much does it have to do with justice, with recompense, with preventing abuse? I don't think very much. Okay, so the events themselves were not brutal and destructive. It's only that they were a trigger for something brutal and destructive, racism. So she doesn't even have to cover. Her mind is already in that place. She's already not even looking at the actual thing that happened. The only thing that could be brutal and destructive is the EDL in this case. And I'm supposed you could probably lump in British National Party and UKIP in there, too. The Tories are pretty fucking complicit in all of this. Like, let's be honest. The Prime Minister, I think, is a Tory, and he, I'm not gonna go out of my way to defend them. But the UKIP, the BNP, and EDL, all of which to me are perfectly fine organizations, are the ones that these people are afraid of. I mean, to a certain extent, I'm sure the Labors don't like the Tories, but whatever. Whatever.
It's just one of the anything that even suggests having a higher moral code is probably evil. Like if they're actually exercising their agency to hold values beyond what they read in their college textbooks, I mean it's evil.
I don't understand. I guess my mind immediately went to tactical covering for achieving a greater goal.
That's
where my mind sort of went. Like, if someone's that gross, that almost has to be the only way they could convince themselves to do something so gross. No, this woman actually just is that invested in her own asshole.
Even that sentence that it was a trigger for something brutal and destructive. Oh no, 1,400 plus rapes and kidnappings of children are not brutal and destructive. No. Now, it's only because they might make some white people racist.
My favorite quote from her in that article is in response to the EDL's response and the demonstration going on outside the police headquarters. She says, "There is a melodramatic atmosphere that makes it impossible to take anything at face value." Really?
She's talking about herself.
1,400 child rapes. And people are upset about it, and that's melodrama.
And she doesn't think that they're being... they're not really upset about it. They're racist. It's like, well, maybe one of the reasons that they're racist is because of things like this.
Like, well, you know, it's just low-class white
people. Enter her mind.
I mean, that's the way they look at it. It's just stuff like this doesn't happen to upper-class left-wing whites. This is something that only happens to lower... working class, right-wing, disgusting white people that are already kind of muds, and it doesn't really matter if they get some packy thrown in there against their will. That doesn't matter.
But the interesting thing is that it's not... She can't even imagine that they could be really upset about the events. It's that they have to be racist and looking for an excuse, because that's how she thinks.
So she's deranged as fuck. We got it. she is an insane woman. So is she being hung? Are these Pakistanis being hung?
Honestly, I don't know much like pressure there is. I mean, does anybody in America besides us even know about this? Like,
no.
I don't know how much
came out in the U.S. press a little bit. I don't know how much it did, but
how is it not big fucking news?
Because what? it doesn't. You know how this shit goes.
It doesn't tickle the pickle.
It doesn't go along with the program.
Come the fuck on. How about, like, how come I hear what I put on NPR or something when I'm driving around? Today in the Congo, there were 45 rapes.
Yeah,
that's our fault.
Shit about, like, I don't know that it actually, it doesn't really fit any agenda. I can't say how much or how little I think that the U.S. media has picked it up, but the UK media is so easy to get online. Everything I've read is from the Daily Mail or the Telegraph because that's easy. We can get that. It's simple, you know.
You'd think feminists would be all over this, wouldn't you think that?
It seems like so
because they're always talking about rape culture. But here's an actual example of rape culture.
I can't remember
this
who said it.
This is an actual tangible rape culture.
Here's a real.
And what
rape
are you gonna? Wait, you just don't give a fuck now?
Yeah, I think that was Clayton or something, wasn't it? Clayton just said Islam is rape culture or is
Islam
a rape culture.
Is rape culture. Period. And the woman that wrote that article in the Guardian. Now she's just a columnist, but I think she's representative of the greater left wing mindset.
She's definitely the mindset. Yeah.
And she, if you look at her other Guardian articles, there's all kinds of shit. I mean, you can go look at her article, and then you can go look at other articles she's written for them. There's all kinds of shit about feminism and all this crap. And then all that goes out the window when it becomes, some actual rape culture might...
Yeah, I think a right-wing
group animated about rape culture. Like, here you have a group of right-wing white people in Britain, native Britons, they're right-wing. They're actually upset about rape culture. They want to do something about it. They want to hold the people that did it accountable. They want to kick them, put them in jail, kick them out of their community, get the people in government that were apologizing for rape culture, covering up for rape culture. They want them fight. They actually want really badly to do something about a real IRL rape culture. And she is now saying... this is brutal and destructive.
Yeah, then I think we've identified then the real cohesive agent keeping all this crap together, and it's just a common hate for fucking white people.
White men.
Yeah, white men. And that's all it fucking is.
And it's funny how the picture of the white guy, which is on the article, I'm assuming the native English guy, from the EDL that was on the article that they put up, was meant to be like scary. Like, he's bald, he's got tattoos, he's pretty.
He looks pretty like
after American history.
He definitely even lifts, and it's like, I don't know. He just looks like kind of a cool guy to me. Like, I can hang out with that guy. I'd love to have a couple of pints with him at the pub, you know. But like, he's probably really scary.
He's scarier than the Pakistani men that are raping their children. But
yeah,
That's seriously it.
I want to know. I want to sit in a English public school and just watch.
Oh my god!
I just want to sit in their history class and I just want to see what happens, because this is like Scientology fucked up. This mentality.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, you walking into a British school would be like a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Like, I can picture it. Like, here's this big bearded white guy coming in wanting to see us indoctrinate these children. Like, that's like ramming some planes into some towers for them.
Well, yeah, I mean, even in the U.S., they don't like when outside observers come in to look at what they're doing in the schools.
No, they don't like that at all.
Like, even, like, John Stossel, who's, like, pretty kind of a little bit of a fag.
He doesn't have the beard, but he has that creepy mustache.
He's that porn mustache, yeah. So.
he's like if King Diamond takes his makeup off, he looks like that guy.
Hey, King Diamond's badass.
Hey, I know.
So, What's going to be the reaction to this? Like, there's no way this leak is going to just die. Like, there's no way that your common British man...
Let's come back to that in just a second. Did you guys see this Daily Mail story about the Pakistani bus driver?
Oh no!
I mean, this is just to give you a little more background on rape culture. He's telling his story. Once there was a boy in the bus, and everyone had sex with him. Confesses Ijaz.
This is in
Pakistan.
To make it clear, this is in Pakistan.
But these are the people they're importing and defending. But this is where this comes from. And he says, "I did it too, but what else could I do? They invited me.
What else could I do but rape a boy?
And he was that kind of boy anyway." Is the quote. A recent survey of 1,800 men.
This is the mindset that you're important, right? Here.
Yep.
This is the multiculturalism.
Hold on.
A recent
survey of 1,800 men in Pakistan found that a third believe that not only is raping little boys not a crime, it's not even a bad thing to do. Let that sink in for a couple minutes. Okay.
But this is
and that's what you're bringing over there.
The Enlightenment was a social construct made by cisgendered white men.
Right.
We're going to have to go back and undo that with some Pakistani child rapists. Yeah. That's definitely going to create our egalitarian society.
It's all fucking social construct. This fucking internet social construct. My penis social construct. It's all social construct. We're doing a lot.
So I want to take back, that knowledge is out there. Anybody can, granted, I guess the Daily Mail is kind of considered is that the one that's kind of considered a tabloid? I don't remember my British magazine.
It's a conservative, I don't know if it's a tabloid.
It's considered like the New York Post, right? I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably, which is sort of yellow, but it's, all the right-wing press is a little bit yellow.
Yeah.
For very, that's fine. It's a little sensational, but it's good. They're rabble-rousing. I mean, that's good, right?
But I wanted to come back to what Bulbasaur was asking.
Hates that shit, so, yeah.
Is we've got this knowledge is out there that this is the culture these people come from, and now we've got definite knowledge that they brought it to the UK. So what is the reaction going to be?
The first thing I'm really seeing is it might give some steam to those Scottish independent parties, like Scottish independence and Welsh independence. But the funny thing is you look at those groups and they're like super fag leftists.
Yeah, they're not even. Yeah.
But
there was a poll that came out in the last couple of days that for the first time in polling the Scottish population, more than 50% are now supporting independence. So you can't tell me that Rotherham didn't push more people over to that edge, even if they're right wing. I mean,
that's possible.
We have a friend, he's Scottish. He is a big supporter. He was probably a supporter of it before, but now he's got even more fuel. And he's like, whatever, we'll break off. We don't have to be part of the UK anymore, and we can now, navigate our own future. Now, I know that a significant portion of Scotland is Labour, like almost all of them, but I don't know that much about the politics there.
A good start. If they have their own identity, they can be as Labour as they want if they stop doing the kind of multicultural thing.
It's a little bit of. I mean, when you look at Scottish National Party's platform, it's pretty left wing. And part of the reason they want to split off from the UK is because the UK is too right wing. If you can let that process for a moment, our friend who is a supporter of it, he was explaining some of this to me yesterday. I was really questioning him a lot because I wanted to understand the whole thing, and he's like, we could, once we split off, then we could chart our own course. There's not going to be that many immigrants up here because of the weather, because of the economy, because they haven't made it up here yet, etc. So he's confident that even though there is all this left-wing crap, once they break off, they can, the right-wing in Scotland, and even they'll just have a nation that's almost all Scottish
takes care of a lot of free ridership when you have one identity in your... It's like the Nordic countries. Right, yeah, like the Nordic countries before they kebabbed themselves to death.
Yeah, my opinion is that if they continue with the kind of economic plan that they want, they're going to need to take a lot of aid from the EU...
Right.
And that might come with other provisions about immigration and cultural things. And so I'm not entirely optimistic, but I don't, it doesn't immediately affect me, so whatever, like, go for it, Scotland. I'd love to see that happen, just to see things get shaken up, see what happens. Definitely, I think that got a boost from the scandal. You know, there's also the rise of UKIP, although they are, to me, I think they've got a good program. I've heard bad things about them after I sort of said, hey, it looks cool. It's like a nationalist party that doesn't go all gay commie. You know what I mean? Like, they don't, like, yeah. Their economic policy isn't like a bunch of fag pinko shit, and they're nationalists. Because that's one of the problems I have with all sort of nationalism, is that it tends to go towards pinko economics, which I think is stupid. I don't think, you know, but whatever. So I was like, hey, UKIP isn't that. But then I heard some other things, like, they're actually not as hawkish on immigration as they say. They're more about, like, splitting off from the EU. But they still give leftists, you know, fucking...
Yeah,
rectal cancer. So yeah, that's good.
Well, I mean, you look at what Labor has become. Like, the funny thing, like,
it's just fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, and this is going to be the wife's influence on me. But J.K. Rowling, in her little Harry Potter stuff, you know, and she writes about the when they have their right wing takeover and it's like Nazi wizards and you read about like how they're running things. And the funny thing is that's more that leftist projection, because now we're seeing what labor controlled government does to its citizenry. And it's worse than any sort of fascist projection on a right winger. And it's always that way. It never works out the other way. And it's so fucking funny and tragic and infuriating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all these leftist parties that come into power, even the Democrat Party to a significant extent here, although the Democrats here are probably like way too right-wing for anything in Europe. But, you know, they always free ride off the previous accomplishments of the civilization, and they start to decay away at those things that were created, whether economically, socially, you know, all those bonds that were built up, all the capital that was built up, all the social bonds, all the civil society, like they go and they start to attack it, and then they take credit for the leftovers. It just drives me crazy. Mm. But
well, another thing I wanted to bring up with the reaction, like you're starting to see those right wing parties emerge in Europe, and I mean,
yeah.
Isn't the latest news coming out of France that Their far-right party is likely to take power?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I think that, like, the Front National or something, I don't know how likely they are to take power. I don't know much about, but I do know that France is probably the most right-wing nation in Europe right now, and they also, coincidentally, have the highest percentage of Muslims in their country. Yep. So, I mean, there is a thing, like, and there's also things, like, in the U.S., you find that people that live right next to the ghetto are, like, more racist than people that live in Whitelandia. So, you know, you find that when you come, people that live with the consequences of multicultural ideology every day, which usually isn't the people that are pushing it,
no,
they become more right-wing in various ways. And we're going to, you know, and you're going to see, like, you're going to see more of the English Defense League, which isn't a political party. It's like an actionable, it's like an action thing. Like, they want to go out on the street and do things, which is why they're really scary. I mean, if you've ever seen a picture of a demonstration of them, they are literally completely surrounded in a wall of police. It's crazy. It's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, you're gonna push that reaction. And we talk about our immigration problem in the U.S., and we do have one. I mean, we're bringing in a huge amount of poor third world people from, you know, a culture that can't be assimilated. They're not intelligent enough. They don't share a culture. They're going to create little enclaves. They're going to bring the general norm down to their level, etc. Mm-hmm. But they are not. It's different. I'm not going to say that it's okay, but
well,
it's different.
Let's not forget,
like,
that there's,
if
you know,
the Mexicans in this country were Muslims, we would be in a fucking war.
Listen,
we would be in a war right
it's
now
not like
on
we,
our street.
It's not like we don't have cities that. You know, we have cities that are playing that fucking Lion King noise at prayer time. Anya, Anya, whatever the fuck that shit is. I mean, we do have some kebab here, and it's on the rise. I think it was in Minneapolis where there's been enough Somalis and Muslims now that in primaries, they've been able to get their own Democrat into the into their mayoral, you know, rather than a white Democrat. They're, you know, it's happening.
Well, and the funny thing is it seems to be happening in northeastern cities more. Yeah. Like, I mean, Boston is where they're there's an article out talking about a Boston mosque, the one that supposedly helped, I guess maybe both of the Boston bombers, they were brothers.
Right.
They attended this mosque, and apparently the mosque has been funding ISIS.
Yeah,
that's the latest news that's come out. It's like,
shut it down. Are they going to shut it down?
Hell no, it's Boston.
Shut it down.
Rally.
I feel like that's where the federal government steps in. Like,
yeah, for sure.
And they're going to, I don't know, I would be surprised if the federal government, that's the thing, like, we're actually not as completely pussy about Muslims in this country. We probably will be in 20 years, but in England, they've completely chopped off their nuts. The U.S. still, yeah, it's a little bit different. Like, and, you know, you're talking about kebabs in some parts of the country. I mean, in Minneapolis, the State Department literally fucking flies these people in because they're refugees.
Yeah, yeah.
They fly, of course, asylum. They find a completely nice, you know, laid back, pretty heavily white Lutheran part of the country. They're all like almost no crime. Everybody's wholesome and gets along. I mean, I've got family from that area. It's like it actually, they actually had Skyrim for a little while. Like, you know, they had, everybody is like blonde and tall and attractive. There's no crime. Everybody goes to church. Like, the families are wholesome. And then now they have to, you know, the natives are a little bit too happy up there. Let's fly in some Somalis.
Yeah.
Like, you literally take the best segment of humanity. God. You literally take the best segment of humanity and find the shittiest, literally the shittiest segment of humanity and fly them in.
And like, that'll work out.
It wasn't even organic immigration. Like, they were literally moved by the federal government there and put there. In New York, we have kebab, but, like, I think still because of still, like, leftover of 9/11, they don't really stick their neck out too much.
They just make shitty sandwiches.
And the NYPD actually has, I don't know, I think that's going to be, now we have a fucking Democrat as the mayor, so I'm sure that's all going to go away. For a while, the NYPD was, like, doing things that were probably against civil rights law in terms of, like, monitoring the kebab in the city.
Good.
Because they still have their butts chapped about 9/11. So, like, that gives, yeah, and I think that's all to the good. I think that gives a little bit of leeway to the whole thing. So, but yeah, I mean, there's also a lot of Jews. There's a whole thing going on in New York that for reasons why the kebab don't really stick their neck out here like they might other places. I also don't even know, like, they might even have somebody in the assembly. Like, there's all these black assembly people that are all this social justice, black power crap, but I don't know how much they actually affect things. I mean, the Jews basically run everything, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Before you go, one thing I'm wondering now, you know, we had the attacks of 9/11 orchestrated by, you know, bin Laden. And
I thought you were going to say Jews.
All that Wahhabist stuff. Well, yeah, the Jews. But what I'm wondering now is, since we're allowing, and hopefully this will change, but if we allow ISIS to continue, and it's the most toxic version of Wahhabist Islam ever seen in human history.
Even other Muslims are like, whoa, hey.
even Saudi, like hardcore Saudi Wahhabist Islam, they're like, oh my God, America, come fucking kill these guys.
Yeah.
The jihad is off.
Saudis are always like that. I mean, they don't really believe that shit. They just give money to it so it doesn't happen in their country. And then when shit gets out of hand, it's up to us to go do something about it.
And the thing, it's still, I guess maybe it's a reaction more against elements in their culture that's become secularized. Because I know it looks barbarous to us, and that's because it is fucking barbarous. But out in the Middle East, they are secularized to a large degree. It's a lot of money, and a lot of, with the oil money and everything else coming in, I mean, they have westernized to a great extent, and I think ISIS, I think that might be part of what's created ISIS as well, is this, the modernist influence of comforts and not getting to rape our goats and women and shit like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, bin Laden pretty much even went into that about you know, I mean, everybody says, oh, it's not just, it's U.S. foreign policy. That's why they do it. And that's true to a certain extent. But there's definitely a anti-modern reaction of this hardcore Islam to every, I mean, most of the regimes in the Middle East, which I think was a great foreign policy by the U.S. to sort of prop up these secular military dictators, you know, like Hussein, who should never have been taken out of power, to just keep these people in check, right? Keep them in check, give them money, give them... Who fucking cares if...
Who cares so much
Arabs are oppressed? I really don't give a fuck. Kill Muslim guys that are going to get out of hand.
Well, and that's the thing, is the whole strategy back in the day was to contain Wahhabism.
Right.
Because you read it, their belief is, if you do not believe in Islam in this particular way, you have to die. Everything about your culture has to die. We have to destroy all churches. We have to destroy all symbols. Everything that does not perfectly conform to our fundamentalist, super crazy version of Islam has to die and be completely eradicated. And it is, and the thing is they tried to stomp it out, but beyond just a full genocide of Arab people, which no one has the balls to do yet, that was the plan. Just keep them contained with secular, strong arm, not the nicest people on earth, but you kind of needed that to keep that under control. And
it's not a nice place.
No, it's a horrible place. I mean,
don't need that nice people ruling it.
Like, yeah, I mean,
fancy.
It's still Old Testament over there. So,
Ghoul, you were saying something.
I would like to actually address feminism directly, and feminists. In fact, why don't you mark this in case I want to take this segment out and upload it somewhere, the audio. But I am going to challenge feminists here to actually try and do something about rape culture for once.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes to, you know, turning on NPR and hearing little, you know, like the, you know, like the rapes that happen in Congo or Uganda or whatever, you're able to brush it off a little bit because it's not close to home, and you want to focus on what's here. But right here in your backyard, you have 1,400 little girls and boys raped and kept on the, and it was kept on the down low.
Yeah.
And you're actually not going to do something about it. My challenge is, if you want to be taken seriously and not be exposed for just hating fucking white men, actually try to do something about this rape culture. Because if you don't, you're going to look even more fucking retarded than you already do.
Well, I mean, you could even take it this way. It's like, okay, you can hold on to your hatred of white men. Why don't you go after the white men that funded getting these Pakistanis imported over to rape little girls? Why don't you go after the white men who propped up the politicians that turn a blind eye to this? Because I guarantee it's going to be white men that orchestrated it. Because that element of feminism is true. White men run things. White men will always run things. Period.
All right, well... attack and try to hold accountable the actual rapists themselves, people who people in charge that allowed this to exist. Actually try to go after these people. If you don't, then you're just fucking dumb, period. Like, there's no getting away from it now. If you don't say something or do something about this sex scandal, it's over for you. You're finished. It's done.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I can predict the outcome of this for you.
As we, you know, as we talk about it, it's because it's not, that's not really their agenda. I mean, their agenda is,
they pay some lip service.
Rent-seeking from...
Of course, but for the sake of their being able to continue to rent-seek without looking like schizophrenic fucking idiots...
Well, they are women.
At least to actually do something about this rape culture that's in your backyard.
Do they even whine about
that
the female...
That requires agency, though.
Also, even just for the sake of being a human being, like even just for the sake of humanity.
Well, if you were thinking on terms of like common good, you wouldn't be fucking feminist to begin with. So I don't even want to bother trying to appeal to like to community here.
I'm not even necessarily appealing to that. I'm saying inside your own self, like if you actually, yeah, you've got your agenda, but if your own heart and soul do not want to punish these people and prevent this from happening again, then you're fucked. Like you're like not a human. You're some distorted, twisted version.
Caricature. Yeah.
Yeah, but I already came to the conclusion. I think I already came to the conclusion that they're twisted, fucking weird people.
Yeah.
Who have a really distorted view on sexuality.
Yeah, feminists don't. Yeah, you don't become a feminist because you like enjoy people and you have a balanced idea of like how human beings are. You become a feminist because you have like the worst elements of Marxism, liberalism, and Christianity kind of meshed together with a vagina. And that pretty much fucks you having any agency to begin with.
But like, well, here, the
best description of feminist I've ever heard.
But I would actually challenge all feminist figureheads to say something about this. Throw some attention at it. Demand some kind of justice here.
If these guys were rounding up little English girls and
fucking anybody.
What about Kathy Reisenwitz? Did you hear about liberty and shit?
Like I don't mean to like be a standard asshole standing on like graves or standing on victims to prove a point or something, but we actually have like 1,400 raped kids and what? No feminists are saying anything? It's blowing my mind right now.
They would only be up in arms about it if instead of raping, these men were rounding these girls up and, like, giving them the old female circumcision. Because basically, feminists only care about this kind of abuse when it's the kind of abuse that, like, will prevent little girls from growing up to enjoying being a slut.
Well,
like, she doesn't have a clit. She's not going to like sex.
I wouldn't even think that because I think that the reason they only criticize that kind of thing when it's far away.
Yeah.
When it's in their own country and it would affect the balance of power in their country. I mean, like, really, the main thing that they're scared of is that the balance of power will get upset. The right wing will gain power from this.
Establish that Christian theocracy we are all working on.
They are more scared of that than anything, and it's
they do have a Christian. That's what liberalism is. It's a Christian theocracy. It's a post-Christian theocracy. That's all liberalism is. You could trace this to the Anglican Church. You could trace this to the Episcopalians in 1930. And that's my rant. Sorry, like that was the beginning of it. Like they start until 1930. You know, across the board, it didn't matter if you like smells or bells or if you were handling snakes in a fucking tent. They all agreed on a common idea of like decency, morality, ethics, and values. And in the 1930s, they get together and say, "Hey, you know, maybe you could wrap it. Maybe it's okay if women act like sluts, etc. Maybe the fags are okay." And you see what happens. Like, it gets into the politics. They start appealing to that kind of mindset. And then you have, like, progressive evangelism. That's just this disgusting labor fucking... Like, they see themselves as a Christ figure. They see this as a sacrament. You know, this is them atoning for their original guilt of being born with a different melanin. It's vile and disgusting, and it makes me
turn
have
into
sympathy.
Ivysaur?
It has me sympathizing with like atheists. It really truly does because I see this and I understand why people cannot into religion. I really absolutely can understand that and empathize and sympathize. And I wish I wasn't so fucking stupid to where I actually I make this leap of faith, and it bothers me. And that went completely off topic. Sorry.
That's okay.
But atheists arguably believe it even harder than a lot of Christians. Well, at least in terms of the post-Christian progressive religion.
And suck it up to Islam, which makes no sense. Like, when we're talking about a culture here that's guilty, completely guilty.
It's because rustling our jimmies is more important than actual...
They see their death.
Yeah.
they see the death that they desire, and they know deep down that they deserve with the Wahhabist. That is the other side of the coin, because the other side of narcissism is always destructive, self-destructive rage. And they see the self-destructive rage reflected in these disgusting, vile brown people. They have more in common with the Pakistani child rapist than they do with their own countrymen.
And well, they do it like humanity, like, or like anything, like with like goodness. They would rather side with a rapist, otherwise they might have to pull their face out of their asshole.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, here's a quote that I think really gave it away, and it was also in the article that I wrote that came from even the reporter who broke this open. I guess these documents were leaked to him, and, you know, despite his initial instincts, his real humanity surfaced, and he decided to make this public. But here's what he said. I didn't want the story to be true because it made me deeply uncomfortable. The suggestion that men from a minority ethnic background were committing sex crimes against white children was always going to be the far right's fantasy story come true. Innocent white victims, evil dark-skinned abusers, liberal angst kicked instinctively into top gear. Now, thankfully, this guy...
Thankfully, it got kicked. Kicked over to a guy who was a little weak in his convictions there.
Right.
So he allowed it to get through, you know.
His actual humanity conquered that, and he put it out there for the public. But that shows you... And if you've never been a liberal, if you've never been a leftist, I have, and I couldn't deal with the cognitive dissonance, so I had to stop. If you've been... that you understand this, you get how after 9/11 the first thing you have to do is shift the blame to religious fundamentalists. I mean, they did this. You have to shift the blame to Christian fundamentalists in the U.S. So it's George Bush, it's Christian fundamentalists, it's the religious right, it's our foreign policy. That's the reason this happened. You can't And part of it is the brown people don't have agency. Part of it is there's a whole number of factors that go into it. But the thing is that if you're going to try to predict what these people will do, you can't ever assume that they will pursue justice, even justice according to what they claim justice is. You have to assume that what they will do is protect their narrative, protect their pocket of power. You know, protect, that's at all costs must be guarded. I was even reading an article, I didn't link to it in my article, I had intended to, but it was a little bit too off topic. It was from a Trotskyist website, a Marxist group of people. The WSWS.org, some of whom I've had interactions with in the past. But their article on it, literally all they said was, the right-wing press has tried to make an issue out of the fact that the abusers were mostly Pakistani males. And yeah. So, they tried to make an issue out of that, as if it's not totally relevant. And they literally, they're fucking actual Marxist commies. They're the best at, they are like completely totalitarian. That in that, like, nothing can intrude into the narrative. And literally, they blamed it on lack of funding for social services. And I was blown away by that. Not even the liberals do that. And so it's like the left has an amazing way of staying on narrative no matter what. And I don't know what's going to come of this. I don't know if any of these bureaucrats are going to get fired. I don't know if the English people are going to be able to hold them accountable. I know there's some people that want to lynch them. But, you know, even those demonstrations outside of the office, it was like 40 people at the time that
lived in little camping tents eating crisps.
Right. Yeah.
Eating so chips.
I think we need to import some Southerners over there. They need the kind of multiculturalism.
Yeah, they need some rednecks. Oh my God, can you imagine? what the left wing...
The South will rise again in Wales.
If we fought some American rednecks over there, they would fly into a fury. It's funny, man. I used to sort of like, when I watch TV, which I don't very often, I kind of do like, I'll confess to it, it's a weakness of mine, I kind of like spy shows. I kind of like it, it's kind of cool, whatever. Yeah, it's stupid, I know, but so, you know, in looking for some spy shows to watch a few months ago when I was laid up for medical reasons. I was looking on Netflix. I was like, oh, you know, maybe I'll check out this show they've got out of the UK. Because I used to like some of the spy thrillers from the Cold War era.
Yeah.
From, like, Dawn of the Car and all that. That's cool. It's cool thrillers. But so I was like, all right, I'll look at the show they got, like, MI5 or MI6 or whatever the fuck it is. So I looked at it, and I looked at the plot synopsis of the episodes, right? And this is all done in the 90s and the early 2000s and stuff. All of them were, like, an American, like, Christian terrorist anti-abortion starts bombing abortion clinics in London. Really?
Yeah.
Really? So this is what your spy show is about. Really? I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to be watching. That one can be checked off the
Ben's definitely going in the dildo pile.
Yeah, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, has this ever happened? Has this ever happened? An American Christian fundamentalist right winger militia member Republican voter goes over to London to bomb abortion. Yes. Yeah.
Sure, buddy.
But you know that this scandal sounds like something out of bad fiction.
Yeah.
God, you're rustled. I can hear
you. I really about this.
I don't know if this might be too behind the curtain, but he wasn't even going to stick around. Ghoul wasn't going to be on this one. And then we told him we were going to talk about. Oh, you know what? I think I'm going to stick around because I want to know about this.
on a personal level, rape
sure.
Rape, you know, unlike, you know, feminist.
I'm not at all belittling you for the way you're feeling right now. I'm just
the idea.
I'm glad you stayed on.
The idea of men overpowering weaker people, like children. And doing sexual things with them for, like, such a primal self-gratification. You could give me a gun, I'd put a bullet in these.
Yeah.
Everyone responsible, I'd kill every single person. And not,
I guess I
would have no trouble sleeping at night.
I guess
give
if
me
we
the AK bayonet that freaking Jihadi Joe was using, and I'll do it the other way. Like, I'm okay with that too.
Yeah. I mean, it's been about a week of sinking in, if that's why the rest of us sound snarky. But yeah, man.
This is actually the first time I've heard it. I'm just kind
of...
Oh,
you hadn't heard of it? Oh, right.
But yeah, that's kind of why I lost my temper a little bit.
Yeah, it's just...
But I guess where I'm pissed off all the time, people are used to it.
Well, it's great. That's what we're looking for.
Who was that was telling us that I always sound pissed off? I can't even remember. But I mean, it's true, but
that's
I...
Fine. But anyway, you know who sounds really callous and unrustled about this whole thing is our good pal Merakiu, who's back with another classic installment of the Merchant Minute, and I'm going to hit that right now.
We're going to need a bigger oven.
I'm sorry, I'm going to hit it right. I'm going to hit it after I hit that button. I'll probably edit that out. Wow, that was really stupid.
Hell no, keep that in.
All right, here we go, the Merchant Minute.
Fucking thing sucks. Let's do it live. This is the Merchant Minute. The town of Rotherham in South Yorkshire, England, has given us the best argument yet as to why the British should never have colonized the fucking cesspit that is the Indian subcontinent, as the Jews could no longer cover up that gangs of packy scum have sexually exploited around 1,400 children in the town of 250,000 people. We can safely assume the vast majority of these children were white because packies so often fuck their cousins that their families are a much more complex, interconnected web than those of the degenerate whites who marry complete strangers. So sexually enslaving a child of your own ethnicity is likely to piss off at least one of your inbred relatives. And also, let's face it, the Jews pay the most for the blood of white children. Basic economics here, people. The knowledge of this sexual exploitation was kept from us for years because the heebie-jeebies in the local government didn't want anyone drawing obvious conclusions from the data, otherwise known as giving oxygen to racism. All the children in the world aren't worth the loss of my progress. What the Jew didn't count on was that our racism, like the bullets that will penetrate them on the day of the rope, has its own oxidizer. The question we need to ask now is, what if these people are actually poor, innocent Muslims who were forced by the Jew to sexually enslave white children for him? When brown people hate Israel as much as I do, it's important to give them some benefit of the doubt. And in the culmination of the entire year's worth of American distraction and Palestinian genocide, Israel announced state appropriation of 1,000 acres of land in the West Bank, the largest land grab the merchants of Venice have attempted in 30 years. Look behind you, my white comrade. Tyrone is appropriating your flat screen. Maybe the rest of the alternative right would understand the plight of the Palestinians a little better if a couple dozen Bernie Madoffs moved in next door after using eminent domain to build some condos. What Israel is doing is literally worse than Florida. It's just like Nazi Germany's Lebensraum, except that what Israel is doing is bad, and Hitler did nothing wrong, and the Holocaust is a lie. Remember, the Jew fears the samurai, and white people like us can be samurai too, as long as we LARP hard enough. For therightstuff.biz, I'm Morakiu, and this has been the Merchant Minute.
This is the Daily Show.
Okay.
So that rules.
Okay.
That was the best one yet.
Yeah. He gets better every time.
Yeah, everyone gets better.
Maybe we should give him money or something.
No.
No shekels for him.
No shekels.
All right. Well, you know, I don't know if it's the subject for this week, but when he threw that in there about if brown people hate Israel as much as I do, I should give them the benefit of the doubt. I was like, nope.
Yeah, no, not gonna do it.
That's when the JQ goes too far.
Seg into next week's topic as we come to an important anniversary in our national history.
That's right. That's right. It is the what's it going to be? The 13th anniversary.
13th. Good luck anniversary.
Yeah, 13th anniversary of the biggest inside job false flag in American history.
We could talk about how the merchant doesn't play knockout or behead people or have freaking
shit.
Well, outside of Hollywood, they don't have the grooming of little white children. But you know that can be something we bring up next week.
Yep. So we're going to be talking about good old 9/11. We're going to maybe debunk some. I don't know.
Oh, God.
It's old news, but it's fun, you know? I mean, that's what we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to be here and be all flash and no substance, right? I mean, isn't that our thing now? We'll just talk about, we'll talk
thermite,
about, you know.
In the fire extinguisher.
A thermite page. So, anyway. So, yeah. Tune in next week for the 9/11 Happened extravaganza.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate you. Those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. And then you destroy yourself.
Adios, mi general. Adios. La página que hoy día se cerró. Se abre ya la historia como ráfagas de sol. En el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven.